last time on Paint It Black.
After getting anally assaulted, I enjoy a nice oatmeal cookie.
I'm gonna rip your oily hair off and wash my body with it because I'm crazy!
I'm gonna take Mean Gene Okerlund and force him to anal rape you.
He can't stand, he can't be, he can't act.
It's gonna be terrible.
Numbers.
I'm sorry! Wilson!
I see a red door and I want it painted black.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paint It Black Podcast, a very different episode.
Welcome back, Pete.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me back, and I should thank you guys for filling in while I was out.
Yeah, super special guest spot.
Yeah, so let's introduce everyone. My name is Pete Berg. That was the Incredible Hulk falling on the floor. Joining me is my official replacement host, Brian, who kicked some ass last week.
Yeah, I do what I do.
That was well done. That was a funny episode. Also, we got the man himself, Mr. Lou Figueroa.
Official replacement news guy.
Yeah. And I should introduce you two as a pair, because you are the creative team behind our new book, Hand of God.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, thank you very much there, Pete. Yeah,
so let me ask you, did you put your name in the credit?
I'm a letterer. And I gave myself an editing credit.
I was going to say, because you did quite a bit of some of the drawing on there.
I did clean up stuff. Well, you did all the hard stuff.
Your right hand was needed to finish that up. I want to say that going into next year, Pete, can't really talk about how hard you work every week. Lou busted out a whole comic
in like a weekend.
11 days.
That was damned impressive.
I want to say, Lou, that in high school and college, you were definitely that dude at like 2 in the morning that would start your like thesis paper.
Yeah.
I really did. I mean, I was the last minute guy. I never studied for anything. Fucking. And you know what? This past week, literally 3 hours of sleep a day. Literally.
Ouch.
And I would just eat like fourth and fifth meals to keep me going.
I remember getting those iffy phone calls. I was like, yo, man, so what's going on for what day you feel? He's like, no, definitely. And he's sitting there drawing and being like, I'm not near done. You know,
I should say two things real quick. I've known Lou a long time. I knew Lou in college. Yeah. That's where we met. And there were a couple instances where it's like, hey, man, you start your senior thesis yet? Nah. And then we talk about Aqua Teen Hunger Force for an hour and a half. I should also say, like, I don't know how you did it this weekend, because I was trying to keep up.
Yeah.
So, like, it would be 5 in the morning, and I'd be trying to text you, and nothing's coming back. Lou, no!
Yeah, man. You did it.
And I wake up, and there'd be more pages. It's nuts.
Yeah, you did. You definitely did a great job for, like, the 13 days you allotted yourself to draw a whole fucking comic.
Thank you. You know, the funny thing is, like, after having not done anything but draw, you know, morning to night, like, I went to try and play video games today. I was like, oh, this is boring. I want to draw something.
Really? You're glutton for punishment. You wanted to draw some more? That's awesome.
Oh, I did draw, though. I came up with our new t-shirt, Bear Shark.
Bear Shark.
Bear Shark. The oldie but goodie, if you're a listener of the show, we came up with Bear Shark like January.
Forever ago. Yeah. Now, we should probably say we're not doing our traditional format tonight.
Right.
Because Comic-Con, New York City Comic-Con, is this week. Thursday it starts. And we have been busting ass trying to get this thing ready. So we're just going to sit back and chill and talk for a bit and reflect on the year that was, I think.
Booth 1146 in the small press area, if you're all interested.
Yeah, buy a Bear Shark shirt.
Yeah.
Buy a Hand of God comic. Check out the Hallowed.
Check out the Hallowed and our old comic, Lessons Learned.
Yeah, we're going to have some stuff there.
Yeah. Also, our boy Kaz is coming by. He's working on... I'm so bad.
You can't remember the name
my
of the script you wrote.
Comics. It's fucking
Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort. I wrote a script, Southern Comfort, and he's working up the cover for it, and he's going to have it all done. I'm going to print up copies, and he's going to be signing and passing them out for a future book, just so, you know, he has something to show at Comic-Con.
Yeah, as it is, I think we're all properly represented now.
Yeah, also on Saturday is going to be podcast day over there, and Dan's going to come in from A Squad, and the whole gang's going to be there.
Like Phoenix himself.
Yeah, we're all going to be there promoting Paint It Black, A Squad. I'm not going to promote Disenfranchise too much. That's just, you know, something I do.
Might not be a Comic-Con audience. I don't know. Is there a big sports presence there?
To be honest with you, the first year you took me to Comic-Con...
I remember this.
I wore the Green Bay Packer jersey, and almost like every third person I walked by was like, yo, do you know the score? It's like... You have a smartphone, man. Like, I don't know.
There's a guy in a jersey. Get him.
Yeah, you know sports. No, but I'm going to say that you wouldn't think it, but a lot of people, like, everyone likes football, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking, like, you don't see a lot of collectibles or merchandise.
No, that's not true at all.
Really?
I went to a... There's a lot of paintings of, like...
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Not
yeah.
so much, like... There's also, I'm sure, a lot of, like, the Seth MacFarlane action figures with, like, the baseball and football players.
Todd McFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane is different. He does so much, I get it confused a little bit. Yeah.
You're the second person this week to say that.
He's talking about the robot chicken guys.
Yeah. Dave Namer, who wrote the comic I'll be drawing next, The Seventh Fear, did that same thing this weekend at your birthday party.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, like, there's actually... Comic-Con is beyond comics at this point. It's TV, it's movies, it's collectibles, it's art. It's everything, man. Like,
but you don't... My point is you don't hear sports.
No, but I mean, sports people are just as rabid collectors as anyone else, and there's tons of collectibles there from
sports. I see a lot of parallels between sports people and, like, real geeks.
It's just jock nerds, that's all.
Exactly. You know, just as where I can name every issue of Spider-Man where a character premiered, you can name every stat from the past year. And when I go and play D&D, you go and play fantasy football. It's all the same.
It's the same horseshit. Everyone's connected. You guys got to nerd out in one way or another, yeah. Whether it be sports or movies or comics.
I always say the only difference is your guys in tights are real and occasionally not as good as the superheroes.
Not as good as what?
Like, in nature.
Oh, no, they're bad. The football players? They 56 arrests over the offseason.
They seem to be terrible people. Like, most of them, right?
No, Kurt Warner, he's mad at God. That guy, he gets money to the poor and everything. Well, he's saintly.
So he's the Superman.
Pac-Man Jones? That guy fucking shoots strip clubs up.
Oh, he's a Joker of the NFL.
He's worse than the Joker, because he's a real life.
And he's already got his cartoonist supervillain name.
I don't know how familiar you are with Pac-Man Jones, but... His claim to fame in the world of felonies is that he got basically he was in a strip club making it rain, and the strippers got I guess too crazy and started picking up the money, and that was broke strip club making it rain etiquette. And
there's etiquette.
Yeah, and he punched the strippers, and then he got kicked out for it, which wasn't cool by his means at all. And one of his entourage popped the fucking bodyguard and basically shot him in the back, and he. So he can go back in and hit that stripper again. So, like, it was a double assault on a stripper. Like, she thought she was cool. And it's like, oh, all-pro cornerback for the Tennessee Titans, Pac-Man Jones, humma, 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 bow!
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
I'm trying to compare what villain I would call him, but...
Well, the shooting in the back sounds like the Joker. I mean...
Well, yeah, but for the express need of punching a stripper a second time...
Joker?
Yeah, I guess.
He is the NFL version of the Joker.
I guess this is not as cool when it's real life.
No, it's not. It's not. He didn't have any funny things to say. He wasn't going to fight Batman.
Where was the pie? So throw a fucking pie.
I mean, if he had
Joy Buzzer.
I mean, if he had some of these things, it might have gone a little too far. I mean, at some point I did get shot. I don't want to like stress that it went way too far, but it might have gone further if he was really into it.
Holy shit, that's a dark fucking story. So yeah, sports, good stuff. Listen to Disenfranchised for more of that. I don't listen to, I don't watch sports, but I do listen to your show.
The there's a funny story we did this week with Bernie Kosar. He's an old quarterback for Cleveland Browns. He got pulled over for DWI, and the officer was like, "Can you get out and take a sobriety test and walk the line?" He's like, "I can't walk the line." He's like, "Why not?" He's like, "Cause my O-line couldn't block." And he's been retired for like 15 years, right? And like. He totally got arrested and everything.
Hey, Lou, is all this going over your head, too?
100%.
Okay.
Basically, offensive line protects you from people trying to hit you.
I didn't ask to elaborate.
All right.
I didn't want to know.
Hey, guys.
I didn't hear that one yet.
Guys.
What seems to be your boggle?
My boggle?
Oh, I missed this last week.
It's like when I try to explain electronics to my girlfriend. That's the looks I'm getting from you two right now. It's like... O-line?
O-line?
Is that like something to do with Broadway? The O-line?
Sounds like something in porn.
Yeah,
the O-line is the line you say right before you come. Like the, right. It's called the O-line in a business.
Shazam!
My O-line is boom goes the dynamite.
Dynamite.
Oh, man.
Time for a sandwich.
Go make me a sandwich. Boom.
Would you like mayonnaise? All right.
Anyway. Yeah. So what else are we going to have? We're going to have A-Squad, like you mentioned.
A-Squad.
Rise Like Phoenix, come down.
That'll be on Saturday from, I guess, doors open at 9:30 or 10. They keep messing it around because there's like something like 200,000 people that show up. They're like, okay, not 10 o'clock. No, no. We need to open it early. 9:30.
Yeah. Saturday is brutal.
Yeah.
Saturday is a very hard day to work.
Well, see, we learned from last year. Saturday, I procured places for us to stay on Friday and Saturday night.
Nice.
So our trip back is not going to be like the hour and change it was the last two times.
Fucking nightmare.
We were like the Friday night last year, we all came home and we were like, yeah, man, let's get a case of beer, watch some TV, we'll chill. We all drank like one beer, ate Taco Bell, and we're like, I'm going home, man.
Yeah.
I'm fucking done. Because, like, I mean, if you've been to Comic-Con, you know how many people are there, but you don't know what it is to exhibit, you know, and you're sitting there, especially if you're not like Marvel or DC or Capcom where people are just coming to see
you. Yeah, like one of the big name. Yeah. Super guys.
When you're trying to hustle and meet everybody, it's like, you know, a whole day, like 10 hours of standing on your feet, shaking hands, telling your whole spiel what the fuck you are to everybody over and over and over again. It's just tiring.
Yeah. But come say hi to us.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to do it. It's just like, you know, but by the end of that second or third day, I had the whole spiel down. I was like, this is exactly what I'm going to say to everybody.
Yeah. Like Thursday, I remember you starting it off, and it was a little rocky at first because those were press people.
Yeah.
So they were like giving us pointers and stuff. I was like, no, see, you're doing this whole thing wrong. It's like, oh, shit, this is going to be a long weekend.
You know what? Last year, well, we had, like, the one thing to display, and we were squeezed between this photography guy and the worst
band ever.
I thought
you were going to call him a frittata.
No. I thought he was okay. I mean, he brought some babes, which I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was nice.
But, I mean, the amount of people that came over once they saw women just rose exponentially.
I just remember like that was a great way to get people in, but I remember telling the guy Mike, I was like, you have your girls here, man, but where's your book? Because like no one knows or cares what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you have the people, you have the easy thing of the people coming in. And I was like, yo, Mike, you should definitely have your book here because all you're really selling is swag. It's like his cards, calendars, cool stuff.
Yeah.
But he didn't have like a thing of like, he didn't really, I don't think he got his brand across so much because everyone just remembers the chicks.
Yeah, people came in because of tits and took their picture with the skankily dressed girls and walked away.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the whole thing. And then we had to listen to our friends in Blue Movie, the band that we did the comic for last year. All day, every day, that one song.
Dude, I wanted to be like...
Over and over.
I don't want to be rude, but like, do you have a fucking another song you want to play? Yeah. Like no one wants to hear this song anymore. Like...
After, like, the first day, I'm like, you got to play the whole album at least.
Yeah, right? So the video alone, like, I memorized every beat in that music video.
What do you mean? The first 2 seconds I heard it. Yeah, 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 yeah. No, but I got to say, they were really cool people, though. I had a lot of fun hanging out with Tony and Daniela and...
what's his name was the coolest Lisa. One of all?
Tony?
The guy setting all this shit up.
Alex! I forgot about Alex. That was my boy, man.
Alex Hernandez. Yeah. Shout out.
Yo, he was awesome. It was funny because, like, that particular... I remember the year before when I showed up, they were really all into it. The whole band was there. They were handing out stuff. They were, like, all into it. That year, they were strolling it, like, three, like, smoking butts. They didn't give a fuck. Alex is the only one there that was there the whole time.
He had my favorite line of the whole weekend. When Tony... The guitarist had his iPad that they were using to swipe the credit cards. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Alex, I'm leaving. I'm leaving you the iPad. Don't watch porn with it, all right? And Alex just goes, then don't give it to me.
You know what I'm going to do with it. Like, don't be shocked.
I like to think that thing was turbo-loaded with porn by the end of that weekend.
This is going to get gross.
So thank you, Alex. Even when he's surrounded by people, porn was still viable.
Oh, yeah.
Total option.
But yeah, you're a guy, man. You have the access to anything you want to see. It's like, sometimes I'll be on the train. And it's like, well, I could see some tits. Like, let's check out what's going on.
Yeah, pick me up. All right.
So going into work in the morning. It's like 8 a.m.
No better way to start the day.
It's a nice fresh pair of titties.
It's like morning coffee. I can't do anything until I see them.
This is very, very, very true. But, you know, I'm pretty excited this year. I think because last year we didn't really have our own table. We were split and we didn't really get to do what we wanted to do with the table. We just set up our shit and just try to make the best of it. But
you,
this,
you want to give a little teaser on what the table's going to kind of resemble?
It's going to be sort of like a sideshow, little like a museum thing, like Captain Spaulding's shit.
Captain
like
Spaulding's Fried Chicken and Gasoline and House of Mystery, whatever the fuck it was. I love that movie.
Basically on, was it, I guess it was Thursday last week, me and Pete walked around some stores, picked up some stuff that resembled things on the comic books that we had made in the last 2 years, and we were going to like just put them on display and basically to explain to everybody, oh yeah, this is from, you know, this axe is from Hand of God, this this jewelry is from The Hallow, this the ski mask, which, you know what's funny? We walked into to a ski shop and we were like, do you have any ski masks? They're like, oh yeah, they're there. Like, no. Like the old like school burglar ones.
You should have seen it because Brian walks in. Does he give ski masks? No. You not that kind, the kind murderers wear. The guy's like, no.
I think we're fresh out.
Do they not make that anymore?
A couple guys in some striped shirts came and got them before.
Carrying sacks with dollar signs on them.
Dollar signs on them. They were old-timey criminals. They just came in here and bought up everything. So like that was we still haven't found one of those yet, but we're basically gonna do that. That's gonna be our shtick this year in 2013, and I think it gives the people something to look at. We're gonna be handing out candy because of the Halloween.
That's right.
We got stickers, wristbands. We got
t-shirts. We got hats.
T-shirts, hats. Three comics this year, and then anything you want to look at. It's gonna be pretty cool. And you can talk to us.
Yeah, isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, just meeting people. You know, it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have Lou, Pete, and our boy Kaz going to be the artists sitting at the table signing everything. And as the writer, I'm going to have to be vocal and try to get people in to see everybody.
You got a good salesman quality to you. You were killing it last year.
Yeah, I try. You know, I'm a talkable person.
Yeah, so come see us, I guess.
Yeah, booth 11.
I just Googled ski masks just to see if I could find the ones. Apparently they really don't make that much.
Damn.
Yeah, they all are non-threatening nowadays.
So I just wanted to ask you two, you got totally different approaches to your two comic books this year as far as, you know, how, pace and time. But like, I just want to know, like, what's the hardest, because I write the thing, I just want to know what's the hardest part about doing the comic itself.
Doing the comic itself. Like, just sitting doing it.
Well, don't be a dick. I'm talking about, like, the drawing. Like, is it the background? Is it the...
Oh, you want more specific. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
You know what the hard part of writing is? Writing it. Like, that's the fucking big one.
No, but that makes perfect sense to me, dude.
Elaborate.
I guess, for me, it was just all that, you know, intense detail. Trying to show, like, shape and depth in something that's just plain black and white.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Well, this year we tried to do a tall order of two comics, so we have nice, beautiful covers, but we didn't have time to call them. We're going to probably end up calling them this year, but hey, man, we're independent.
You get some black and white Comic-Con exclusives next year. If you like it, you can pick up the full color version.
Hopefully by then we can get the three comics in one thing, so like...
Like a collect? Like collectors. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing we should say. We'll have details on it soon, but we will be doing a Kickstarter. If anybody wants to... come see us at Comic-Con. We'll talk to you about it.
So, Pete, what about yourself? What was the hardest part about doing the Hallow?
Oh, man. Well, a couple challenges. I hate doing backgrounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel the same way.
That one was background rich. I saw the one that always pops out to my mind was the cobblestone where the guy fell down. He's dead on the cobblestone. There's blood everywhere. And it just seemed, like, tedious.
Yeah, and when you're drawing in black and white, and again, Lou, I think you probably went through the same thing where you're trying to get as much line work in there to make it fleshed out looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that gets exhausting.
You know, I always think about that football scene, looking at that, and I'm like, Jesus, that looks like a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. I learned a lot about football doing that. I did. I had no idea that the numbers actually meant shit.
Nerds. another question I wanted to ask you guys was... When you get in your scripts, right, like you're basically the director, and do you guys like being like figuring out how you're going to present the scene, or do you guys like being told exactly what needs to be put on the paper?
That's a good question, because I think every artist is a little different with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I personally like either way. Like, what you...
You keep giving me these nuts.
No, no, because your scripts, you don't put a lot of, like, background detail. You tell us what you want to see. It's much more Marvel method, which is like, here's the story.
Me, writer, you, artist.
Yeah, you draw. I put words in later. You know, and, like, Bill, who wrote The Hallowed, intense detail. Every single thing he wanted to see is in the description. And I don't know. Do you have a preference? Because I don't know.
You know, I think I prefer to make my decisions because, you know, when we started, I was originally going to do Just Desserts, and that one was just tough for me. I couldn't even figure out what I wanted to do. But Hand of God, I drew up the mocks for it in like a day.
Well, the thing
it just came to me.
The thing is with that with Hand of God, it's a lot more straightforward story,
a little more linear.
Like it's like there's bad kids, there's a kill, then they fuck with the eventual killer. The killer fucking becomes a killer, and then everyone dies. While fucking
spoilers,
well, not everyone dies. Not everyone dies. But anyway, the other book that you were initially working on, Just Desserts, that's a lot of visual shit going on more than it is just a story. It's like you're trying to tell a story with there's not as much dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot more like visual, and it's just kind of hard to fucking come up with like how the fuck am I going to do this?
But I mean, you know, I'll bring my little sketchbook, and you'll see these really terribly drawn panels. But they look exactly like the finished ones.
No, and when we were trading the pages back and forth for that little bit, I did enjoy seeing a layer in the Photoshop document called, like, junk.
Yeah.
You just click that on, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's the rough. He drew it with his foot.
My roughs are very rough.
The finished work is gorgeous. It's hard to make the leap between the rough and the finished.
Now,
it's like, one was drawn by a 2-year-old who was drunk.
Right.
The other one was drawn by a professional adult.
Yeah.
Now another question I want to ask the two artists here. Okay, I'm a writer. I think only about the dialogue more or less. Now, when you're the artist, you got to think about both. You got to figure out where this dialogue is going to go on this page. I just want to know how much that drastically affect how you're going to draw the actual art.
Oh, okay. Well, that one, that comes with experience. Last year when we did Lessons Learned, I didn't know I had to do that stuff quite as well as I do now. So there was a lot of overlapping text. This year, kind of got a handle on it. Mm-hmm. You just kind of read through your script, see where there's a big chunk of dialogue, and just make that the biggest panel. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I had a little bit of that where there's one page. I ended up splitting into two for Hand of God just because there's so much.
But yeah, in the original fact, script, there was 9-10 panels or something.
Yeah, and in fact, two of the panels written in the script were both marked like panel 6. So I'm expecting 9 panels, and then I'm going through it. I'm like, oh shit.
Whoops.
10 panels.
Thank you, Editor Julian.
Right.
By the way, Julian edited that story. That's our first story that she edited for Painted Black. So we actually, it's going to be a bunch of names on that comic. That's like the whole crew did it. Yeah. The whole Painted Black podcast crew was part of that comic.
Yeah, that was a big group effort.
Yeah.
Again, most credit goes to you guys.
You know, I'm going to say that Lou is a war horse on that, and to get it done, it took the whole team.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, what? Lou is the war horse because he's a dickhead with this time.
Yeah, I have poor time management skills.
Dude, half the time I see you, you're not even dressed. You're in pajamas. You can't find the time?
I mean, obviously, like, when I was doing it, I'm like, if I had just done like 1 hour a day, I would have been done a month ago.
Well, now we know. Now we know. If we just like chain Lou to a radiator in a basement somewhere and just keep feeding him scripts, we could have like 30 books done by the end of this year.
Like if Lou only wanted to work like 10 days a month, right? And like he got paid to do the whole comic at once, he could get a comic out a month.
I like my system better. We lock him up. We give him Monster Energy drink and some sugary candy. And tell them to go to work.
That's pretty much what I did.
Yeah.
I literally bought a bunch of monsters, some bananas, and
potassium.
I mean, with your monster, you got to have your fruit serving of fruit.
And just going through it, fucking, you know, 7 a.m. Crazy. It was bonkers.
I mean, at what point were you starting to be like, I'm really feeling the pressure here. I don't know if it's going to get done or not.
Well, you know what was weird was, I guess because I had submitted to Pete like 10 pages at once, I'm like, oh, this is easy. And the following day I'm like, oh, I'm definitely gonna get it done tomorrow. And then I only got 2 pages done. I'm like, oh shit, like,
yeah.
I'm like, alright, then tomorrow. And that's why, like, I kept saying to you, like, oh, yeah, definitely, the next day. And the next day would come around, I'm like, what the fuck happened to the time? Like, that's why, like, I had you do, like, a lot of the outlines. Because I'd do the outlines on one character, and it'd take me, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, well, that was easy. But then there'd be a page with, you know, 20 characters on it. I'm like, oh, Christ.
Yeah. When I would get those pages, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't even doing all the... I was just doing outline stuff, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's super
simple. Did you have to draw two cops? Yeah.
It's way tedious. I originally had three cops, but I deleted them.
I thank you for that.
I'm going to ask a couple more questions. When you guys are drawing the comic, like, what is the thing that you dread most when you see in the script where, like...
For me, cars.
Yeah?
I hate fucking drawing cars.
You figure that'd be the easy thing. Like,
no, I just, I don't like cars. It's one of those things. You know what a car looks like. You get it right in your head. But when you actually go to put it on paper, something's always just slightly off. So I always have to look at, like, photo reference and crap like that. And then it's just sterile. When you draw on people, you can give them some life and some motion and give them funny expression on their face. But a car is a car. It's boring. And I had to draw for this book, like, three driving scenes and then another scene in a parking lot filled with... A crowded parking lot filled with cars. So that was my own personal hell.
You know, I totally agree with you. I had one car to draw, and I omitted that shit.
There was a car?
An ambulance at the end. Cut the air.
If I remember the original script, there was supposed to be fire trucks in the background.
There's no firemen. No.
Just cop and paramedic.
Just a gurney in the middle of the parking lot.
That's it.
Well, we're really blowing up our own work here. Like, don't look for that.
Right. Oh, fuck it.
It's fine when nobody brings it up.
It's quality. It's just funny.
No,
it's
I love the way you handled it instead of that ambulance.
Man, fuck these cars.
Cars suck, dude.
Let me bring something up because I know I did it. Do you have any hidden stuff in there?
Oh, tons, man.
Nice.
What'd you hide? Give me a taste.
Penises.
So I've got a in the church. There's obviously like Jesus stuff. So there's a little window with like a Jesus thing in it. And he's hanging out there with, like, cartoon face. X's over the eyes and his tongue hanging out.
Sacrilegious. How did I not catch that? I gotta look that up.
He's pretty small.
Yeah.
But he's there.
Yeah, I got the big football scene with the crowd. And if you zoom real into there, there's more than a couple lewd acts happening in there.
Nice. Yeah, my lewd acts are full size.
A non-consensual dick in your pussy.
Thank you, Raffy.
Lutz, did you watch that episode with him?
With all Raffi
episodes? We haven't talked about that.
No. Yeah, I think he died, right?
I think he died.
So, I'll give you guys the table if you guys want to fucking throw a couple questions my way since...
We're good.
All right.
No, I wanted to ask, like, Hand of God is a really cool idea. Like, where'd that come from?
I mean, I'll tell you right now where that came from. It's basically, I sit on the train all day. And I listened to music, and this was basically the song that I was just rocking the whole time. And, like, I would sit there, I'd get what the basic thing I wanted to get across was, and I'd put this story together, you know, pretty much, like, literally, like, just one piece at a time. And, like, I just keep going over my head, and then, like, it's kind of like 6 days of air. Like, Monday, I'll think about it. Tuesday, I'll think about it. Wednesday,
yeah.
I'll start... putting it together, and then by Thursday I have it done, so Friday you could do it. Like, it takes me about like three, 4 days to do it.
Yeah, crazy quick turnaround with that stuff. It's impressive.
Yeah. I have a bunch of stories I want to write still, but we were working pretty slow, so I was just like, well, I guess I was doing like being lazy a little bit, so I was like, you know what, once they finish off a couple of comics, then I'll just put this shit to paper.
Yeah, so we're going to sit and we're going to write that one note. I've been talking about an idea since college.
Yeah, it was, I can't even remember my name. It's my own. It's,
Never Say Die.
Never Say Die. This year I kind of wanted to do one with both of you. I kind of wanted to write one with you, and then I never got a chance to write one with Lou last time, too. I would like to just do one with both of you guys. It'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, Lou, you always have ideas.
Yeah, I got
an idea. Well, I mean, like, I want to do a separate one with Lou and a separate one with Pete, because I wanted to Never Say Die with you. And
yeah. I had to laugh at one panel in Hand of God, where I know you have an obsession with World War II stuff.
Yeah.
You found a way to get Hitler in there next to Honey Boo Boo and Justin Bieber.
Well, in that particular scene, like, God is telling the nun why people deserve to die. and it's like these people that, you know, humans admire and idolize. And I tried to think of the three most horrible people imaginable.
Like, I want a t-shirt of those three panels. Like the axis of evil.
Yeah.
But you should dress like Bieber, like Mussolini, and then Honey Boo Boo, like Emperor Hiyamoto or whatever. This is like the axis of evil.
Hirohito, I believe.
Hirohito.
Right? Yeah. That's amazing. That's a great idea, actually. No, but that panel cracked me up, dude.
That was definitely... There's a lot of humor in a lot of things that I saw, like, that were so Lou. And, like, a lot of the faces that some people make when they're fucking doing something stupid. Like, that... Pete was mentioning to me that one character that you were using was the stoner character was your brother. You were definitely... Yeah. Like, because, like, some of the facial features, I was like, that's God. He's like, that's Alex. I was like, that is Alex.
And I noticed the Nicole character, the one with the pigtails, frequently resembled your wife a little bit.
Well, you know, it's actually her sister.
Oh, was that her sister?
And they have a strong resemblance.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, that kind of looks like Courtney.
Yeah, yeah.
Couple panels in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, it really came out of dynamite, I felt.
Thank you.
But you guys got any more questions for the old writer?
Yeah, well... What do you come up with next?
Yeah, what's next for The Mind of Brian Katz? Aside from what we just talked about.
All right, I have one that I started writing and then I stopped because I was lazy. But I know exactly how I want to finish
it. Oh, I know the one you talk about.
I have done all horror to this point and I wanted to do something that wasn't horror. And I had been influenced by Tarantino my whole life. And it's kind of like the movie Commando meets Pulp Fiction. Where it's like a lot of like the pacing of Commando, where it's just like action, 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 but like the story and dialogue of Pulp Fiction. No, I can't. I'm not gonna ever compare myself to Tarantino in the story dialogue, but it's kind of that pace, more or less.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of feel to
the
it.
The feel to it.
I read the first draft, and it's really fun.
Basically, the whole point of it is that these two wise guys, one Irish, one Italian. They're walking home, telling a story, which I'm not going to tell on air because it's a little fucked up, and I'm not going to go through the whole story. But they get to one of the guy's houses, and there's a guy sitting there in a suit with like on a chair, and he's basically like, "Welcome home." And instead of being like, "What's going on?" they just shoot him dead, and they're like, "Why'd you shoot him?" It's like he was in my house, and then they try the whole rest of the fucking comic. They're basically trying to figure out what was he doing?
Who is this mysterious figure? It's definitely call it a shoot 'em up.
It's goofy, and
if you were gonna give it a genre, it's pure shoot 'em up. It would work well as like you said, a 80s action flick.
Yeah, it's basically just an action flick that it's put into comic, and I think it's gonna be fun to do.
It's interesting that everything we've done, even not always deliberately, has been horror based up to this point.
Yeah, well, The Hallowed was horror.
Like, even The Hallowed and The Seventh Fear coming next year are both horror stories.
When Lou was throwing out ideas with the stuff he wanted to do was about like a killer.
A serial killer in World War II France.
Yeah.
Still would like to see that. Well, that I found your outline the other day.
Oh, did you?
It's on my desk.
Cool, cool. And that one's based on a true story, which is just dynamite. Well, I mean, not dynamite in the sense like awesome, but it's amazing.
It's compelling.
It's amazing that someone could kill, 100 people and not, get caught.
Yeah, it's like if Dexter was in the 1940s and then turned into a lumberjack like a douche.
We didn't talk about that. That was the stupidest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That last 12... I'm bitter 12, still. I'm not even bitter. I'm so done with Dexter. I just couldn't... I wanted to end so bad from, like, the third episode. I was like, this is gay. This whole season's lame. Just ended. To have Dokes come out of nowhere and kill him.
Surprise, motherfucker!
Ah, well, I didn't burn up on that fire, motherfucker.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it because I knew it was going that direction. I saw, like, the first three episodes. And I was like, you know what? I just want to remember Dexter like I did first three seasons. And that's it.
Four seasons were my... You liked the first... That's right. Your favorite was the one with...
Jimmy Smith,
right?
I thought it was great, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
He first starts,
that is moments.
He first starts, rebelling against what his father taught him.
Yeah,
I think that makes for like really interesting situations.
That was the first time anyone's gone out and killed with him. Like, because the girl didn't kill with him; she just knew his deal.
Right, and then Jimmy Smith, that guy's amazing. You know,
I'm still a Trinity killer, man. But here's how quickly Dexter turned around.
Yeah.
Last year's Comic-Con, my girlfriend at the time bought me a Dexter shirt that I proudly wore. in 1 year's time, less than a year, a few days short of a year, I've put that shirt away forever.
See, what I didn't get was, like, the guy's been rocking a 5 o'clock shadow forever. So now that he gave up everything, he don't want to keep that. He got a beard. Like,
yeah.
But like, that was just like, I gave up look. Like, I'm going to let this, like, not giving a shit look go really not giving a shit.
Well, once you mystically survive a hurricane, abandon your loved ones, including your 4-year-old child.
What you didn't see was he turned around right after. He was like, this is crazy. Fucking, he just blew up his boat. Like, he was just like, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm not driving into a hurricane.
You know what sounds good for me? Lumberjack.
You know, the books were really terrible, but the main ideas that they had in it were superior to what the show did.
Well, didn't the books go supernatural?
A bit, but I'm talking like his brother doesn't die. He stays around.
Right.
LaGuardia dies right away, and that's why Dokes goes after him.
Gotcha.
And then when Dokes does come after him, he becomes a target of another serial killer and ends up like having like his hands, feet, and tongue cut out.
Dexter?
And, no.
Dokes?
Dokes. Oh. He ends up just being like this jacked up freak. And I'm like, wow, that's intense.
Yeah, it's still better than that last season.
Yeah.
I gotta say, they definitely should have ended it the season before. It was just so bad.
We didn't talk about Breaking Bad either.
The complete opposite expression. Breaking Bad ended when it was supposed to end. It was great, fantastic. Couldn't ask for more for an ending.
I've watched that last episode like 5 times.
I love how the last scene is of him is in the meth factory, and he's just kind of like, you know, appreciating
spoilers,
everything.
If you didn't know.
If you didn't watch it yet, then you...
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah,
if you didn't
fuck
watch
you.
It.
It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
But yeah, I love how he's like, he's shot, he's dying, and you know, he's just like looking, making sure everything's all good with the meth stuff, and he's like, you know, smiling to himself, like, yeah, I did do good.
Just that, there was this thing I saw today, Albuquerque, the city of Albuquerque put an obituary for Walter White in their local paper.
Wow.
Because I guess that show has drummed up so much, like there's tours you can take. They take you to like Los Pollos Hermanos and all this stuff.
That's crazy.
Did they actually film in New Mexico?
Yeah. In the Kirky.
In the Kirky? Is that the name for Albuquerque?
Yeah. Well, you ever see the movie with the goods with Jeremy Piven?
Yeah.
They keep calling it Kirky.
Dude, that's in New Mexico? I didn't even realize.
So I just always call it Kirky. Not since Kirky, man. Not since Kirky.
Cool.
So, yeah. Hey, what are you guys looking forward to seeing anything at the show?
You know, I haven't even gotten a chance to look at the website and see what's available.
We're on the website, by the way. You guys should check us out. Yeah, nice. I didn't realize that until about 3 days ago. And
We're on top of shit.
I just didn't realize. And then I was like, I entered all of our information. I could not get the fuck. I got the website link. I could not get the Twitter and the Facebook link to work. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care.
You know, what's funny? I want
to. That's our motto for Painted Black. Fuck it. I don't care.
I want to briefly jump into this thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I have like chats with people that I game with and stuff. And just the other day, like, because some of my screen names are PIV Comics. And then somebody's like, you're that PIV Comics? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I've been seeing you on Twitter a bunch. I'm like, for real? Like, that's awesome.
That really? Is pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm like, this random person just happened to see us.
I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back. Yeah. I suggest you boys do the same.
There you go. I'll give myself a golf clap.
Golf clap.
Yeah.
I'll give myself...
Yeah, boy!
Nice. Here's what I'm going to give myself.
Chattanooga choo-choo.
Okay, here's the agreement. All right, we want to know if people are listening to this show. So if you do go to Comic-Con and you listen to us, don't do that. But I go to our table and tell Lou it's Chattanooga choo-choo time, and he's got to do his dance.
Nice, I'll do it.
I just want to see if that happens. That'd be amazing.
If I can get a cane and a top hat, I'll definitely...
We got that already.
We got a top hat and a cane, yeah.
We actually already have that.
That's awesome.
You know, our mascot.
Fucking A.
Our ipso facto...
Ipso facto.
Ipso facto mascot showstopper. We got a fucking skull with like a little top hat, and I bought a cane, and I was like, oh, you know, the cane.
Well, I like him, you know? And even though he's our, you know, ipso facto guy, like, he's been around for a while. And I know the story behind his creation.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You were around for his origin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think he's very appropriate. He's not just like, oh, he's the only fucking guy we have.
No, that throw him in there, bud. That character is over. That character can almost vote.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's always around, and he's this menacing motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. I wanted to fucking use him once we have like a bunch of the last calls together to segue each last call in like a 3-4 book comic. Well, not comic. Like a, I guess it'd be like a, what are they called? Like a compendium?
Yeah, like a collected edition.
A trade
paperback.
Where like I guess like you guys would go in and then add like, you know, 2 pages in between each comic of him doing some dumb shtick. I always, like, you had him as a menacing dude, and I just saw him as...
He started as like, a menacing dude. We should tell... Let's just tell his quick origin story. He started because I was frequently harassed by a man in a black car with tinted windows that I couldn't see inside of, who cut me off almost every day on my way to school back in college. And his license plate just said Showstopper on it. And I went to a friend of mine. I went, I don't know what this dude's problem is. It's like he's seeking me out. And she goes, he's trying to stop your show. He's the angel of death. And it just kind of evolved from there that the angel of death had a midnight life crisis and decided to buy a nice car. And he was just, you know, fucking with me. And ever since, he's just evolved. So I guess he was menacing to start, but he's become a more and more silly, goofy character as time's gone on.
Last year, Pete needed a, he's come up with an idea for a comic for Blue Movie. I said, help out. And I said, I wanted to use this Showstopper guy. But the only thing I could think, only thing I just saw him as was this kind of like
ringmaster
type getup with his little fucking scavenges, which were all dressed in bellhop outfits, and they were like basically showing the people the way through this fucking carnival of carnage, basically, that was Blue Movie. And yeah. I had him give him all these stupid one-liners, and I always loved that from going back to the Crypt Keeper, man. Like, I loved the Crypt Keeper more than some of the fucking show the stories they did. I thought he was great.
Yeah. Only our Showstopper doesn't use as many bad puns.
Oh, yeah. You gotta be great to get that many bad puns. Like,
I can't even come up with one off the top of my head. They had like 9 per intro.
Boys and goos.
Boys and goos.
Slice to meet you. I don't know if he said that. It's just...
But that was pretty good.
Thank you.
He really cut him up. Like, in the movie, one of my favorite things he ever said in the movie.
Which one?
The Bordello of Blood.
Okay.
He was basically talking to the mummy, and they were having like
in the beginning,
a shitty conversation. He didn't want to hang out with them. He's like, I get my, and the mummy's like, I get my left nut to be in that movie. He's like, I get my left nut to be not be in this conversation. And I just loved that shit, man. I was like, he just really, really hated being there. Like, did not want to talk to the mummy at all. And it was just like, whoever wrote it was just probably like having such a good time writing this fucking stupid, like, back and forth.
I kind of want to know more. I want to know what the mummy did to him.
Yeah, right. I want a backstory. You know what the mummy was? Actually, in the first Demon Knight movie, he was the main character. That's the actor who played
that. Oh, that's the guy?
Yeah. He was the guy who died at the end and gave the shit to Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know his name, but he was in a bunch of shit.
I forget that guy's name, too. But you watch that movie, you see like a bunch of people that you're like, oh, they're in there?
Corey Feldman's in that shit. Things are looking up at the Codemaster.
Thomas Hayden Church?
He's in that shit.
Who's that guy?
That's Demon Knight.
No, I remember the movie, but I don't know actors.
He's like from Wings or some shit.
He was on Wings. He played Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yes, yes. And I know...
He's in Sideways.
That Titanic douche was in it.
Billy Zane.
Yes. Billy Zane's awesome, man.
I know.
What happened to Billy Zane?
You can't say Titanic without saying douche, really, right?
I like that movie.
I hate that movie.
No, you don't.
I do like that movie. That's
3 hours of nothing.
Right.
No way, man. That's the only movie you're guaranteed some people dying.
Guaranteed a lot of people die.
Guaranteed the half people in the movie are going to die.
Half the people watching?
No. In the actual movie. You name me another movie where right off the bat you know that most of the people in the movie are going to die.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, that's not even a true story.
D-Day happened.
They got you.
Yes, but the whole Private Ryan thing.
Any Friday the 13th. I know most of the people are dead. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
Yeah, but those are so like, you don't know. We don't know who in Titanic are going to die.
Any zombie movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, most of them. I mean, I could get out of horror.
A regular movie. Like When Harry Met Sally. A love story.
All right. Oh, I want to see that movie.
Where else are you going to take your girlfriend on a date, see a movie, and you know that all these people are going to die tragically? Not in a fucking sad way, but in a fucking totally boat-sinking way.
In a boat-sinking way?
And then
Poseidon Adventure.
And then Mr. Fantastic refuses to fucking go back for the people drowning. He's like, fuck them. Cold.
Oh, that's right. That was that guy.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
He did fucking Mr. Fantastic, and that was the end of
it. No, cameo in Horrible Bosses.
Was he in that?
Yeah. He was the guy they thought was a hitman, but ended up just wanted to pee on him.
Yeah, he had the terrible sex acts. Yeah. He's basically the male version of Katherine Heigl. At one point, he was like a big deal.
Ugh, Katherine Heigl.
She actually just quit her show she was on. Like, she was on a TV show that was doing good. And she's like, no, she's quit it today and she wants to go back to movies, but no one wants to see her movies. No,
Movies are awful.
She's a cancer in movies. Like,
box office poison.
She did one movie with Seth Rogen that did great, did dynamite. And then every movie after that did terrible.
So let's not break form completely. Let's talk about what movies are at least coming out this week.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a little Praise of Admission.
Yeah, does that ever suck?
Price of Admission, G.
Figured we might as well, because there's actually like two movies I'm actually into coming out.
Sure.
Last week I missed the Gravity discussion. How did that go?
Mostly, we didn't give a shit.
I mean, I've
been hearing a lot of crazy things, but I'm having a hard time believing that they can make that an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, I heard the trailer is kind of misleading, actually.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
You mean she's not just floating around in space for 3 hours?
No, it's not like that. There's actually, like,
a backstory.
Shit happening during it. But she's, like, the main character. But 97% on Rotten Tomatoes? That's nuts.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
That's the highest movie ever seen rated.
No, I've seen higher.
The 97?
I'm trying to think of what it was.
98 recently, yeah.
Something was a 98, right?
Yeah. Oh, wasn't that Gandolfini movie really, really high?
Yeah.
The other one that week, the DC Sniper movie, was that like a 98?
The DC Sniper movie?
Yeah, Blue Caprice.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's always these indie farty movies that you're like, go nuts with. All right, so this week, two movies, Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks and Machete Kills.
All I can say about the Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks is, boah.
No good for you?
It's about these guys, these poor African bastards who have nothing to try to rob a boat full of white people and get sniped.
Yeah, my problem with it is I know how the story ends.
SEAL team is going to take him apart.
Yeah, because he wrote a book, too, like Captain Phillips. So you know he lives. You know, Tom Hanks is going to be just fine.
It's going to be three. I hate those movies anyway. That it's like, I know the ending, but they're trying to give you like 10 spots.
Yeah.
Like then I see like somehow they're on the fucking submarine. They're like, oh, get us now. We're in a submarine. It's like, you know, if you were to steal the submarine and like have Captain Phillips drive it away, you could probably sell that for a couple hundred grand.
Yeah, maybe. Easily. You want to play the game? Like, guess the rating?
Yeah.
Lou?
Oh, yeah.
Lou, hit that thing you just showed us.
Here we go.
You have to see what Lou's dancing right now. Sorry.
That just took me down.
You were dancing up his dorm before that.
I forgot that was in there, and I was jamming, and it just...
What'd you think you got, Captain Phillips?
Probably good, because Tom Hanks is...
And Ron Howard, right?
Ron Howard did not do this one. No, he did that other movie. He did Rush.
Oh, that's right. He had another movie coming out.
Yeah, he did the racing one with Thor.
I'm going to give this an 80.
Oh, okay. Man, Tom Hanks, it's gold. It's like,
can't really
88.
Oh. You motherfucker. 89.
Wow.
I thought you were going to go 90 and just slip right over it. Nah, get greedy.
It's got Tom Hanks in it, and that guy can do nothing wrong. He could put a movie about, like, he could be John Wayne Gacy in a movie, and they'd be like, it's fantastic. I mean,
can you name a bad Hanks movie?
Early stuff, maybe. Turner and Hooch isn't that good.
No, Turner and Hooch is good stuff. I love that shit.
Or
The Bachelor, The Burbs.
Yeah. Joe versus the Volcano.
That was good. That was bad.
I mean, you got to go back. Oh, well, what was the one he did? Cloud Atlas. That movie sucked.
I didn't see it. So.
Yeah, you don't have 4 hours to spare on garbage?
What's that movie with Wilson?
Castaway. I like Castaway just fine.
Castaway is a movie about a guy with a bunch of stuff on a beach.
Apparently that was on our previously on. I feel kind of close to it right now.
Wilson!
What about Machete? What do you think Machete? Or Machete. Oh,
Machete Kills!
What did Machete get?
Fucking Robert Rodriguez? Are you kidding me? Like 28.
I think lower. I'm going to guess 1 to be safe.
Well, should have guessed just over Brian because he got a 31.
Motherfucker, man. What's with you today?
Well, that's with me? Come on. Charlie Sheen's in that shit.
As the President of the United States.
Fucking not Charlie Estevez.
I was going to say, he's not billed as Charlie Sheen.
No. Carlos Estevez. Yeah.
They went with the whole Spanish angle. I like that.
You know,
I love the first one.
I want to see it, but I didn't think critics would score it that high.
Of course not. It's
this is a great Robert Rodriguez film. You're going to go to the theater. You know exactly what you're going to get. A lot of action. A lot of fucking sexy Selma Hayek probably going to be in there. Or now, I guess she's a little old. It's Sofia Vergara.
They're like this. Well, I think Sofia Vergara is still in her 40s, but goddamn that woman.
Oh, Sofia Vergara is fucking mint. All of it.
Like, that is just fine with me.
You know what? She looks...
Boom! No. Yummy!
She looks okay enough, but I can't get over her unbelievably...
Perfect body?
Accent. No, the accent kills me.
You're a Puerto Rican.
I know. I think she exaggerates it a bunch.
At least on Modern Family. That's got to be kicked up a little bit.
I don't care.
I don't know. I saw her on SNL. She was still doing that thing.
She is lovely.
She does it everywhere. She's fucking Gilbert Godfrey. Just use your real voice.
Maybe it is, but trust me, that wouldn't stop me from nothing. I saw a couple flicks this week.
What'd you say?
Saw Elysium.
Is that any good?
All right. I had mixed feelings about it. I did not really care for it that much.
Really?
I thought I would love it because I like Neil Blomkamp. Mm-hmm. I was really kind of let down.
Damn.
Cool action sequences, decent story, but so heavy-handed with the political message. It's like you want that 1%er bullshit. It's so bad that all the people on Elysium are white, and everyone on Earth speaks...
I'm rich!
And everyone on Earth speaks Spanish, so it's very thinly veiled border politics. And the whole thing is they're trying to get to Elysium to get into these machines that heal them. Why wouldn't you just steal the machines? They're being built on Earth. I felt like the whole idea of it was off.
Wow. Look, it has looper flaws, as you're trying to say, where it's like they're going to the moon... To steal machines that are being made on Earth.
It's a space station, or a habitat, as Jodie Foster keeps calling it.
A habitat.
I also saw The Internship.
You said that was actually pretty good, right?
I didn't mind it. I liked it, actually.
You know what? Owen Wilson needs to perish.
Okay.
Shit.
I wish now, that takes me... That's my complaint in this movie, yeah. Is that him and Vince Vaughn are supposed to be the best salesmen out there. So they make this big sale that, it helps Google, who gives a fuck, I'm spoiling this thing. Guess what? They win. But they are so fucking annoying. I was like, I would murder these guys before I bought anything from them. It was basically doing like that, they're trying to convince you they're nerds, all these people, but they're using the biggest umbrella nerd stuff. It's like, oh, you're from Gryffindor and I'm from Hufflepuff. And you're like, alright, enough people have seen Harry Potter that I guess that one will pass. They play Quidditch for 20 minutes in the movie, and it's not funny. But then there's some scenes that are, really good. It was a weird one. It just felt like Wedding Crashers. Like a less, more watered-down Wedding Crashers.
I checked out a new season of Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
You watching it?
Yeah.
I love how he's just trying to get famous now.
That was awesome.
I love how Ken Marino's in it, man. I wanted to say real quick, that state crew...
Oh, all of them.
Has done so much work in Hollywood since they came about in 1993, 1992.
Yeah, I've been watching that Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the Andy Samberg show.
How is it?
It's actually not bad, and it's got Joe Latrullio from The State.
So. I watched it, and I was counting the minutes until it was done.
Here's what I liked about it, is that he's the goofy cop that they want to fire so bad, but he's too good at his job. So it's kind of flipping the thing on his head where nobody can stand him, but he's the best detective out there. I'm going to give it a few more episodes.
You hate cop shows, though.
I do, but I thought the first two were funny enough. And I've been watching that Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
I saw the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
I like the second one better.
I liked it, but then halfway through I realized, I was like, this is going to be a show about the agents of Marvel.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not the heroes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, in episode 2, Nick Fury shows up.
Is it Samuel?
Samuel shows up and actually has a full,
Well, this is scene. A show that where, in November, you're going to get a fucking a cameo by Thor.
Yeah. Exactly. Right before Dark World comes out.
He's like, yeah, do but a fucking 10-minute spot on this show.
I like the guy who plays Coulson, And he actually had some funny stuff in that first episode. Mm-hmm. My favorite is, like, he comes out of the shadows.
Oh, that was awesome.
And he's like, you're just getting started. Sorry, the light bulb was out, and it was too perfect not to do that.
He's, you know what, there's some witty banter. It's probably going to be all right. I do like it. And as far as, like, it's a main station show. It's like ABC or something like that. So, like, I like the fact that at least you're seeing Marvel and DC represented. It's like you have Arrow, and you're getting some decent shows on these channels.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched it, but, you know, Justin swears by it. He says it's great.
Arrow?
Yeah.
I seen it. It's so CW, though. It's like, you know, there's a pop song at the end of each episode. And the sister on that show, his sister, is the worst character on TV ever.
I'm just glad, as long as it's not to do with, like, a vampire or a werewolf at this point. Like,
this is why I kind of like Supernatural. Because even though there's a pop song, it's an old classic rock. Like, it's AC/DC or, like, Hendrix.
That's a little more bearable.
And it's, I mean, the show is basically Buffy, but way more adult.
Way more
adult.
Like, people are dying pretty regularly. You know, well, it's...
Does it do the thing, though? Like, on Arrow, when the pop song kicks in, it's always like a fucking Pink song or something. And then you're like, oh, shit, here comes the emotional ending to the close. And it's like, you know, you mean everything to me, but I can never be with you, because I am the vigilante.
And it's very like, little fuck you, that.
Every episode.
Usually when there's something intense, they just kill somebody and it's the end of the episode.
Like, you hear this.
Yeah.
It's like, I love you.
But we can never be together. Why not?
Because
I have a secret.
I'm an alcoholic.
This is exactly the kind of song. This is it. This is the...
It's Pink.
You that just was beautiful. Pink.
I just threw Pink out there, but that's it. That's the fucking thing.
We're not sober enough.
Things have changed between me and you. I don't play well with others.
Is that the pilot episode?
I read your file.
Looks like it's going to be a full moon tonight. I get the urge.
I'm going to go stand on the roof and look out over the city for like a few minutes as the camera pans around me.
It's got a nice little 360 view, like,
yeah. And then it cuts next time on Arrow, and it's like the same song, but he's fighting Deadshot or something.
And then the guy is hollering like all crazy, and
yeah, whoop. Baby, I know.
Whoops!
You were all geared up for that moment.
That was a mistake. I meant to do.
Or let's not forget the classic ending of.
This is after he kills the bad guy. He does a dance number.
The whole cast runs out and just like,
flesh mob. You know what was a terrible season finale, by the way?
Dexter.
No. Aside from that, I know you like the show, but I know you haven't seen it yet. The Hell on Wheels finale.
Really?
I didn't care for it.
I didn't see the whole season yet.
It was the weirdest finale. They kill major characters in bizarre ways. They leave it in a place that's like, why would you do that? Like, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. There's like two good scenes in it. I was really disappointed.
Damn.
You want to play another Pink song?
No. What are we going to do now? I don't know. Maybe we should just dance.
Let's get the Justice League in here. Oh, Batman's doing the bad dance.
He's doing the bad two scene.
Wow, Superman can pop and lock.
Yo, you remember that episode I showed you of American Dad where fucking Stan was doing the fucking crumping?
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit was
awesome. He showed me that one. That was funny.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of just TV, did you guys see SNL this weekend where Miley Cyrus was on?
You saw an SNL, I didn't.
She did. They did a whole great thing with, they dressed up as the Republican Party and they did her video for, whatever song she does.
Yeah.
And, they're basically saying that, you know, the everyone's on, all the fucking, God damn it, Congress is closed. Like, the whole government's been shut down. And, basically they did a whole video to that. Like, she was Michelle Bachmann and, I don't know who the guy's name is, but he was Bowler or whatever. And they just did the whole video where they're putting in like the grills and they're doing twerking all over the video and they're like they're these fucking you know it was hilarious. Like, it's so visual, it's hard to explain.
I'll see it though. Yeah. I watch every SNL, even if I watch it late.
Yeah,
I just like SNL.
I can't stand that girl.
Which Miley?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate her too.
And people need to stop encouraging her behavior.
You know, that's actually I saw an article. Her little fucking stupid teddy bear outfit she did at VMAs is like one of the top costumes. Going out there for the
yeah, summer. But they also said like it's a couple's costume. It's her outfit, the
teddy bear,
and it's
Bublé,
Robin Thicke,
Beetlejuice,
right? And that's exactly it. The costume that they're using for him is just repurposed Beetlejuice as suits because he had that stupid stripe. I hate that guy's face. Does anybody else? He's got a punchable face. No,
he's got shitty music.
It's the most punchable face I've ever seen.
Well, how's the song go again? It's like
blurred lines. It's. I don't want it in my head. Don't do it.
It's so basic. Like, when people hear that kind of thing and, like, oh, I love that, the first thing in my head is, like, your IQ is probably, you know, 20. You'd be thinking that.
You're an asshole.
You probably get distracted by shiny balls.
Shiny balls.
Shiny balls go down the street, you're, whoa!
Oh, my God, that dog has a puffy tail!
Right.
Come here, puff!
Other popular costumes I read, it's Frank Grimes, Walter White, and...
Rick Grimes?
Yeah, Frank Grimes.
Frank Grimes from The Simpsons?
It's a very obscure
costume. Hey, Grimey.
Frank Grimes, the one character on The Simpsons fucking like 20 years ago.
Somehow that endured.
Was it? Yeah, no. Rick Grimes, Walter White, and the Miley Cyrus and Bublé and whatnot. They're big, big costumes.
I thought of doing a Walter White thing.
I mean, it's easy. He's got a hazmat suit and a fucking... And a plastic gloves and a mouth, was it an air mask, whatever.
Yeah, I was just going to shave my head and wear a pork pie hat. Wouldn't be the first.
It would just be easier to not shave your head with the fucking hazmat suit.
I occasionally shave my head sometimes because I'm always wearing a hat so nobody notices.
Mm. You know, for Halloween, I would definitely like to be a Tyrion.
That'd be amazing, dude.
But, like, I would just put, like, a glue little shoes on my knees.
I found a costume. I found a costume that you guys need to put together. You be Bran Stark and you be Hodor and just carry him around Comic-Con.
Hodor. I'm not retarded strong like Hodor, though.
No, but you're like the right height disparity. Like, you're super tall and you're not Lou.
So I would say you're on the shorter side.
Not in Asia.
Freeze?
You'd be just the right height. You'd be like God.
Yeah, what a scrapping man.
Kind of like Danny DeVito was like the king of all midgets.
He's a mega midget.
He is.
Well, I got nothing else. How do you guys?
Nah, I'm pretty good at this point.
As far as Comic-Con stuff, I don't know. Well, we're definitely going to have a lot of merchandise, so...
Lou's got two awesome shirts.
Oh, buy a bear shirt.
That's right. I got two shirts. One's just like, you know, generic cool shirt. So even if you don't necessarily like comics, just buy a shirt with it. Half naked chick ready to blow her own head off, or a shirt warning the Mexicans to stay away from bear shark.
Ciudad El Trevion.
Yes.
That was.
Oh no! They're combining us with sharks now.
I just have a shark to my back. Oh no!
I think it's a Mako, but I can't see that far back.
Yeah, man. So it's gonna be. I mean, I'm gonna have a good time, man. I can't wait. This is always like the big time of the year for me. It's my birthday, it's Comic-Con, it's like the end of and beginning of the year for me. This is like where all of our work for the last year ends and then we start off fresh for the new year, man.
I think I'm gonna have to take Wednesday and just sleep all day and just conserve energy and then like sunbathe like Superman, like absorb Earth's yellow sun so I have enough strength to get me through this.
I tell you what, I hope it's as easy to just smuggle in all that alcohol.
Oh, most definitely. I'm backpacks full of beer.
Just. Yeah. Because I heard like they want to step up the security.
I wouldn't even front with the script. If he starts going through my stuff, like, hey, she's delicate.
Knock it off.
Was it last year? They didn't check us at all. They just waved us on. They hire people off the street. They don't take. It's not like for real security. Like,
no, I just remember that last day when they were closing up, and my girlfriend at the time went up the stairs, and the woman's like, hey. You can't go up there. And she was like, blow me.
Wow.
And the woman just stood there looking fat and useless.
Well, does she have to be useless too?
Yeah. She was both those things.
So I just want to just last question, man. What are you most looking forward to this year at the con? Not to do with us.
Not to do with us.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. I want to see some... You know what I just saw that I'm super intrigued about was the... I think it was San Diego. They released a Godzilla trailer, mm-hmm. or a teaser. And I audibly yelled out loud when I watched it alone in my apartment. So I'd like to see if there's anything more about Godzilla, because I'm a Godzilla nutcase.
Kaijus.
I love big monster shit.
You know, honestly, I want to see people that we spoke to last year.
It'd be cool if they remember us and we remember them. Like.
You know, like that one very tall black guy who was dressed up as the Gears.
Dale.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's funny? I saw him in the CM Punk documentary.
That's crazy.
I guess CM Punk was at the Chicago version of... That's not Comic-Con. It's whatever they do in Chicago.
Yeah. I think if they do... Is it no, it's like Emerald City or something. I
mean, you might be right. I might be Dragon Con.
I thought Dragon Con was Georgia.
Maybe you're wrong. But yeah, no. It was in Chicago, and I was like, CM Punk was talking to Dale in that thing. I was like, holy shit, that's the dude I was fucking talking to all week at fucking Comic Con.
Well, you don't, you know, you see that guy, you know who he is.
Yeah.
He was also in his Gears shit there, too.
Oh, okay. Well, you see a 9-foot-tall black guy in a Gears War outfit, you're like, oh, hey, Dale.
He was fucking tall. He had to be like 6'8".
He was like one of the tallest men I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, seeing people we remember from back then that we had a good time just chilling with, that would be, you know.
I agree. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And I want to see all my movie shit. I want to see more Guardians of the Galaxy, if mm-hmm. they got anything for that.
Next summer, right?
Yeah.
Me? Three words. Pikachu, Pikachu, Pikachu.
Are you going to do your Pikachu thing again this year? Last year, anybody walked by in a Pokemon, anything. You just hear Brian across the hall.
It wasn't a Pokemon.
It was Pikachu.
Just Pikachu.
You just hear Brian across the entire hall going,
Pikachu!
Maybe this year, anyone dressed up as Adventure Time stuff, you just be like, Adventure!
I should go buy a couple of Pokeballs and then blast the kids running the Pikachu shit, try to catch them.
I was, when I was planning on, for those who don't know, Brian had a roast for his birthday this year. And I missed it because, you know, busy working on stuff. But my big plan was to hit our friend Silent Durf from last week with a Pokeball live during the show, and I didn't get to do it. But I do have a Pokeball if you want it.
Yeah, that's we did a roast. I should have taped it, but I was lazy. But it ended up being a kind of cool party. So if you're at home listening and you have any friends that are any funny at all, it's a fun time. It's kind of creative and it's a different way to have a party.
You know, I was planning on doing like a bunch of really dry, awful humor, like being like, "Well, Brian's cholesterol is so bad, he's likely to perish soon."
I'm legitimately concerned about his health.
Right, just like weird stuff like that. I think it would be funnier just to see people's reactions. Like, why are you up there? Like,
I forgot what roast. I think it was like Bob Saget or something. Norm Macdonald did that kind of thing. And it was brilliant. Like, he was just telling hackneyed jokes and talking straight. Like,
he was reading a paper the whole time.
Yeah, he wasn't even trying to be funny. And it killed. Well, anybody got anything else?
Well, I just want to mention, if you listen to the podcast, you like the podcast, you know, please tell your friends. The biggest help you could give us is to, you know, subscribe and to write us a nice review, you know.
And write us a review, rate us. Mm-hmm. Just click that little button with the stars next to the thing on your iTunes.
And you're already there.
Write a comment.
Just another second.
And I think most importantly, we all agree, if you're in the New York area, you're going to the big convention. I know there's thousands of you people going.
About 200,000.
Just stop by. Say hi. We're nice people.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time.
We won't hurt you. We're friendly.
All right.
And follow us on Twitter at PIB Comics. And email us at paintedblackcomics@gmail.com. And go to our website, paintedblackcomics.com. You know the drill.
And there's buy all of our comics at Comic-Con.
Yeah. And I guess we'll see you there. And until then, for myself, Pete, for Brian, and Lou, close the door behind you.